Hey there. Doing anything tonight?
This is Alina DeVos from Seattle, Washington. And my idea of a perfect evening is dinner at my favorite restaurant and a good book.
Okay, so a lovely young person all by themselves in a restaurant. They probably need some company, right?
Hi. Did anyone ever tell you that you have the face of a Botticelli and the body of a Degas?
I'm a 10th grade art teacher.
Whoa, all by yourself? That's a sad little party.
Hi, this is Roxanne from Atlanta. My perfect evening alone would be dinner by the beach without the kids.
A perfect evening alone? You can't be serious.
Hi, this is Charlotte, and I'm calling from Tennessee. My idea of a perfect evening alone would consist of a candlelit bubble bath, relaxing mood music, delicious red wine, medicinal herbs, and decadent dinner and dessert.
Can I ask you a very personal question? Did anyone ever tell you
that I have the face of a Botticelli? Think of something original. Some guy used it on me this morning.
Well, new research suggests that people you might see dining or watching a movie or catching a show alone are actually having a lot more fun than you might think. And maybe you shouldn't interrupt their bliss. Joining me now is Rebecca Ratner, professor of marketing at the Robert H. Smith School of Business. I guess it's a good gig being out on your own, eh, Rebecca?
Yeah. You know, it's really hard for people sometimes to do things alone. But what we find is that when they do it, they actually can enjoy it quite a lot.
So there's a threshold you have to get over, and that consists of some of the stigmas that we referred to maybe in the introduction?
Yes. What we find is that people are afraid that if they go do something for fun, alone in public, that other people are going to think they don't have friends.
And, you know, in this era now, people are doing a lot more alone because, you know, you see people in Starbucks with their laptops all by themselves. This is now extending itself into the evening nightlife.
Well, you know, a lot more people are either single now than they used to be or, you know, with the dual career couples juggling families, it's hard to have an activity partner to just get out for the night and do something. And so you've got a lot of people who are confronted with something that they want to do. Maybe it's in the evening, maybe it's just an afternoon activity, going to an art exhibit, going to see a parade that's coming through town, and they just don't have anyone who's available or interested in that particular activity. It's not that these are people necessarily who don't have a lot of friends. They may. It's just, you know, it's probably happened to all of us. It's definitely happened to me that I've had things I wanted to do, but I just don't happen to have someone available to see it with me. And then the question is, do I go or do I just stay home?
Or do you miss it? And there's no reason to miss it is what you're saying. What kinds of stories were you hearing in your research that surprised you about people kind of getting over the hump here?
Well, yeah. I mean, what really surprised me is how universal this is, that people say I'm afraid to do stuff alone because I think that other people will think I'm a loser. And I've presented this work in Turkey, in Singapore, in China, and all over people are telling me the same story. They're afraid of what strangers will think of them if they go out into these public spaces and they do fun activities alone.
So there is an entire solo nightlife that remains to be unleashed somehow if restaurants and hotels and marketers can figure out how to get at this untapped anxiety.
Exactly. And I think it's going to take some clever moves on their part. But as one example, restaurants, very often have tables set for two or, you know, tables set for four for a bigger table. But what if they had some tables set for one? Or what if they had some kind of a special for people who arrive alone or some kind of an activity that people who are alone can do? Even if the activity, maybe it's something in the interest of the restaurant, maybe they could have those solo consumers rate the items or post a review online while they're there and then give them a discount if they do that.
Solo consumers. So that's a name that doesn't have the sting of alone or solitude, that sort of thing.
Right.
Singleton. Right. There's a name we might consider.
Yeah, I like that name.
Singleton reviewer or something like that.
You know, and it's very interesting because there is a lot of research these days in, you know, mindfulness, like the concept of mindful eating, that you go out and eat or eat at home and you're really paying attention to the food. So I could imagine that your solo consumers could be much better able to really focus on the food, or if they're an art gallery, focus on the art. Then you're not chatting so much about, you know, how work is going or how things are going with the in-laws as you would be when there's someone there with you.
What's your favorite recommendation for going out alone? And how difficult was it for you to experiment with getting over the threshold on your own?
Oh, gosh, such a good question. So the reason we started this project is on a Sunday afternoon. It was very important that it was a Sunday because that's a less sort of social time of the week. I went, I worked up the courage to go see a play alone, so live theater. And right after seeing the play, I went and I met my colleague who became my co-author on this paper, Rebecca Hamilton, met her for dinner, and I was telling her how much I had enjoyed this play. And I think it was important to me to work up the courage to go, that, as I said, that it be an off-peak time. And what we found in our research is that when consumers are considering going out solo, they rather go at a time that's off-peak. So, for example, people in our studies prefer to go to see a movie on a Saturday night than on a Sunday night. Not surprising. In general, they prefer Saturday night movies. But if they're going to be alone, they prefer to go on a Sunday because they think the theater will be more empty and there'll be fewer people to see them. One other thing that we find is that people are more comfortable doing activities alone that are functional or maybe serve some kind of learning purpose or accomplish something. For example, you know, going to the grocery store, that's a utilitarian, that's a useful activity. No one would feel really uncomfortable going to the grocery store, the cleaners alone. You wouldn't expect someone to have a companion necessarily. So that play that I told you about, that play was actually a story about a female scientist, and it was a true story. It was nonfiction, and she had helped to discover the structure of DNA that then Watson and Crick got more of the credit for. But that was a great topic for me to see alone. That would have been really hard for me to go see something like, you know, Romeo and Juliet by myself.
When you do challenging theater, sometimes it's actually tough with a date, particularly a new date, someone you don't know very well, because afterwards you don't necessarily know what to say. Maybe they didn't like it. If you really liked it, you're kind of worried a little bit. You know, there's concern, and sometimes maybe you're thinking, oh, is he bored or is she bored? You know, it's a lot less fuss if you're by yourself.
Right. I mean, isn't that so freeing? I mean, that's what we're really hoping, is that people can start to redefine a little bit what it means to be a solo consumer, and realize that all of us have times where it's probably a healthy thing for us to get out sometimes and do things by ourselves.
Get out on your own. You secretly want to. You know you do. Rebecca, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Rebecca Ratner is professor of marketing at the Robert H. Smith School of Business.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.